settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Welcome to the Spirit Book Show. I'm Sylvie Avery. My husband, Mick, and I are spirit mediums and authors, and this show is all about bringing you new insights into the reality of your world. We come from the perspective that armed with truth and knowledge, we can all have the opportunity to move forward in harmony and create a better world in the process. This week we'll be discussing the significance of interpretation. And if you have a question related to our topic, we have a worldwide free phone number for you to phone to join us on the show. And that is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's work on bbsradio.com on Mondays at 9 p.m. PST and Thursdays at 2 p.m. PST, we also have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching, and that's on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 8 p.m. PST. If you would like to know more about us, or our books and CDs, please do go and visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. I'm a deep trance medium, and live on the Spirit's Work Show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay. Gregory comes as spokesperson for a massive group of experts who specialize in many different subjects and genres. Each week, we have a different topic of discussion, which hopefully gives you at least something to think about, and that may even expand your awareness and consciousness in a positive way. Unfortunately for me, I actually miss out on the whole show, because once I go into trance and Gregory comes through, I'm not aware of anything at all, until I come back at the end of the show. But you are in very good hands, because Sylvie will look after you, of course. So I'll say goodbye for now, and please do all of you have a really good show.
Thanks, Mick.
Love and light and all of that.
Mick's gift is really quite rare, because when Gregory is talking to us, it's not words taken from Mick's mind and repeated, as in a lot of cases, or it's not someone else's words that are then interpreted by the medium, but it's the complete personality of a non-physical being from the other side of life. Gregory has come as a representative of the White Cloud Group through a desire to help us, which is why this educational group was formed in the first place. They've had many hundreds of years of preparation, and even now there is continued exploration, research, investigations and study into all of the teachings that they bring for our benefit. If you're ready to understand and realize the importance of spiritual evolution within a human lifetime, then this is the show for you. And don't forget, if you want to join us with a question or a comment to do with our conversation, and this week it's the significance of interpretation, then do join us on the free phone number, and that is 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. And do take a look at our website if you want to know more about us. That is spirit-teaching.com. And I do believe Gregory is with us.
Hello, dear friend.
Hi, Gregory.
My dear friend, what a wonderful experience to be able to speak with you at this time. And it is quite significant, really and truly it is. Because when one person on your side of life comes to the opinion that a word is so sacred, or that a thought so full of truth and wisdom, that word is then separated from all other words, and is held high aloft as the pinnacle of what one thought or word can be, it is at that point that the meaning of words disintegrates around it, that the meaning of that word in itself becomes amplified beyond all measure of reason. This is all through the interpretation of what you yourself hold in high esteem just for the value of one word. So you may value the word of truth. Yes, a lot of people can paint truth, can understand their truth because it is how they see and live their life, or perhaps it is the very value of a physical thing that is in front of you. If it is a solid truth, a table, for example, a wooden object, that is something of your truth. It is something that is undeniable, and yet in so many other languages, that word will be something completely different. Or it will sound completely different. So you cannot say that one word is the central focus of what that truth is, because in a different language, it will mean something completely deranged, completely obsolete, perhaps, from the word you have chosen. The significance of the whole pattern of your life revolves around how you yourself have interacted with that life, how you fit hand in glove with the life you lead and your observance of it. Very much of the time you are concentrating upon the ellipse of what a word means to you, its harmonization with your world, with the very fiber of your being, and that, of course, will depend upon how you have been brought into signifying certain words as being paramount in your world. When it comes to a religious experience, words themselves take on a completely different significance for yourself. Belief comes hurtling along into actually determining what it is that you yourself feel and project in your life. Your projections emanate from the very central circus of activity deep from the well within you. Of course, if you are well and truly understood of the significance of your spirit, perhaps, and the language and the relationship of your spirit self with your physical state, this interpretation will be perhaps altered or changed from others who are experiencing a different religious experience or a different phenomena will occur to them, or perhaps the very same one, but yet to you in your truth, in your world, your significant experience is something of a sublime truth. And you may well feel no one else could possibly experience the same essence of creation you are moving through yourself. This may be perfectly true, of course, because each one of you is an island of difference. Therefore, what you actually interact with in your daily life, in this, particularly in this religious experience you are having, it may well be that what you are understanding in this life is coming through in on a particular level. As I am saying this, you will have a particular word which is significant to your meaning, love. Love to you may be a whole set of parameters which are to do with your family, to do with the way your thoughts come upon you. Relationships will have a certain significant meaning in your life. And yet to other people, the word love will have a different set of meanings and circumstances. Similar, yes, but they will still be different because you are not living their life and they are not living yours. If you hold love upon this pedestal of light, if you find love is significant, does that mean that your love that you hold so precious is so much greater than someone else's love? You see, we tend, don't we, to feel that our love is obviously more precious than someone else's because we cannot experience one another's pain when love hurts us or when we feel that relationships hurt us in some way. Perhaps we are let down significantly by someone else who we had heaped our love upon and whom we expected results from that love. You see, there we are. We are actually controlling what love is doing, what love is bringing to us. Therefore, if it is not so significant, if it is lesser love than we feel it should be, we are already making judgments upon that word and that feeling and saying that it is inferior to some other love. Perhaps we are measuring it against another loving experience we had earlier on in life. People in human terms, in the physical life, tend to measure things in quantity, to gauge quantity, to make judgments and decisions about self and whether that quantity is good enough to fit the energy resolve within it.
We adopt new words all the time, don't we? We make them up. They are,
yes.
They are turning up, and therefore that changes our shift in a different direction also, doesn't it?
Of course it does, because the creation of humanity and the way it is manifesting itself day by day, year by year, or even hour by hour, minute by minute. Different things are being invented, different holistic programs are put into effect. Medicine is ever encroaching upon far-reaching results and bringing alleviation to diseases and malformations that otherwise would have meant human beings would have had a miserable life, if a life at all. You are constantly seeing different ways of how your experience in life takes a turn this way and that. You are seeing words for what they really are. You are seeing them being born, in fact, in front of your very eyes. Does this mean that this is all down to or tantamount to the very altruistic religious experience of your ongoing rise to enlightenment? Perhaps, as some would say, through many different lifetimes. Well, I have to say that this is really to do with the creation of humanity and how genetically you will supersede one another. Those born 400 or 500 years ago would never surely be as full of the mentality as you are now. But that is not because of your spiritual ongoing experience. This is not because you have developed and created due to your spirit or your soul. It is not because your soul is now more developed, because you are at this stage of evolution. Evolution has created this precept. It is that evolution and the genetic strain of whom you are right now, at this very moment, this is what creates the pattern and the pathway. Your genetic makeup is what brings the evaluation of your intelligence and intellect into line at this very time. It means to say, of course, that 400 or 500 years ago, there were beings who were just as intelligent as you. There weren't so many of them, perhaps, but that is not through lack of trying. It is actually because the education system was not as unique as you find yourselves in today. Therefore, if you took the same education system and you placed it 400 or 500 years ago, you would see that they too would come out with the same beautiful expressions, with the same intonations of love, the same connotations of different words and their meanings, and bring new value to the lives of those around them.
So that makes me think about foreign languages, that maybe this barrier is something that we automatically think that, general sweeping statement, but it can be interpreted that because you can't understand a language, it's like they are inferior because they don't understand you.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And I'm wondering if everybody could understand everybody else's language, then we'd all have more respect for each other's races and cultures and personality. It's like
of
people
course.
Haven't got a personality because you can't understand. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
there are people
absolutely.
That think like that.
Yes, absolutely so. And just because the language is there, it then, of course, forms this unnatural barrier.
Mm.
Whereas if human beings actually realize that the significance of their own meaning is really, in truth, to do with their physical contact, to do with their ability to be able to bring across the love they have within them, because love actually traverses all language, all barriers.
Mm.
That is why it is so completely significant in the whole realm of the physical state and the whole realm of the universe. Love is, after all, not just a word in English language. It is, in fact, the energy of the universe.
Mm.
So when human beings try to communicate with each other, that perhaps is bad enough. It brings mistakes and results which are untenable for many. It makes it most difficult to quell the strains of misunderstanding, which just simply come about perhaps through the different symbolism that each different tribe or race has within their culture. Perhaps this then is something which makes such a difference to life, to its meaning. It could be, of course, that one race, through their situation of absolute joy, merely do nothing in the afternoon, and that others from a different cultural background would scratch their heads and wonder why. Why are they all asleep? It is really just that is something which suits them. And yet so many people put such a great significance upon it, such importance that all beings should be like them in order to react in the same way, and therefore, of course, communicate properly, because otherwise they do not have the ability to communicate. Now, some people, of course, will actually use education to the nth degree and become blocked by it, and actually then cease to be able to bring the significance of their meaning of their life. Perhaps they had great joy to give to so many people, and yet their stifled attitude or the way in which they were trying to bring about their language was something which was not easy to understand. I hope I'm making
mm-hmm.
myself clear.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So good. Well, you see, we can play with words. We can use words and their meaning to manipulate and to move things around in the room, in the field of vision of your mind. We can use these words significantly alter your opinion. We can dress a word up to mean so much, to be so loving, or to actually secretly hold the entire emblem of the universe. And that for some reason, this word actually defies all meaning. You cannot try to rearrange it, you cannot spread it, you cannot search inside of it, because its meaning becomes lost in its idolization. And because that word becomes lost in this fountain of what you aspire to be, it no longer really has the significance it should have, because it has lost its real effort of life. People, when they are in the religious wonderland, shall we say, will actually hold on to a specific word, Jesus Christ, perhaps, will hold on to this word of meaning, this language of love, this sublime journey of riches, and will take this and will actually thread it through every fiber of their life. And I do not disagree with this.
No.
But what I'm saying is, then this has become this iconic untouchable. I cannot reach this form of love. I cannot manifest it in my life of joy. Therefore, I become as a humble servant to that love, rather than experiencing it in the fullest possible way. What then if you took Jesus Christ and said that it was a woman instead of a man? That would in itself say that the Lady Jesus was a significant blow to many people, just because you have changed the generic connotation of the word. It doesn't conjure up the same image, doesn't conjure up perhaps the same love, all because of the stereotypical voice which has already been latched upon that word. Therefore, you have moved it from its position in life.
Yes.
And you have called it something else, which confounds many because of their already deep association with the word or collection of words that you are focused upon.
Yes.
Now, what then if you, in this same dilemma, wish to bring about the joy of language upon another being who is non-human? You would try, perhaps, to teach another animal words in your vocabulary. You may succeed to 60 or 80 words and be able to form quite significant communication. Yet there is still not this situation of you feeling there is an emotion that is lacking within the words that are merely repeated. Perhaps it is a parrot that you are teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And that the parrot masters each word very well, very succinctly, pronouncing the vowels and the consonants. The whole ethos of the word, of course, is lost to the parrot because it really doesn't understand its significant meaning, surely. Not in the same way that you would.
No.
But perhaps the parrot actually understands the word as being something completely different. Because it is, in fact, that the parrot has managed to learn your language, yet you still cannot speak parrot. So who is the greater of the two?
Yes, who is the most intelligent?
Absolutely so. Just because of the fact that the parrot actually talks in squawks and in different physiological ways as well, because a parrot actually talks in how it preens itself. Most birds do.
Really?
Yes. They actually talk in physical action as well as the sucks and the noises they make in their throats, or they may talk in ways of wing beats, or in ways of lifting a leg, or an you see?
Yes.
Just in different ways, perhaps in different ways of moving their head, will actually speak volumes of words which you cannot possibly attain in your lifetime.
No.
Therefore, just because you may see the significance of words or its interpretation in the way you see it, doesn't mean to say that the pinnacle of your insight has reached its ultimate goal. Perhaps your ultimate goal is, in fact, to be able to speak ant or to talk beetle with one another. Perhaps you could join with eels and elvers and discover certain elements about their journey which you would never have described or understood within any other being. Surely then, if you could do that, you would obviously have the ability to be able to really decipher what words mean, what they truly mean to you, not just words on a page in a book, not just words as within the language structure that you have, but the real significance of words in their language, of the emotion behind them, of what they mean when they are joined together in a certain way, what patterns of truth are brought about to the surface of your life and your world.
That's fascinating. I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking about the significance of interpretation. Don't forget, if you'd like to join us with a question related to our subject, then the phone lines are open and we'd love to hear from you. The number is free phone number, and it's 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. In your book, Spirit Walks with Gregory, you say that the process of your learning should not be restricted to one place or point of view. And you cannot say that a specific area of science is that specific anyway, for it will overlap many other areas of science, thought, technology, and advancement.
Yes, of course. Gradually, as evolution progresses and thought progresses, new thought begets new idea. Innovation comes from the expression of imagination, comes from the beauty within a self and the sublime tranquility sometimes of mind in a thought to be able to pose new questions. Surely, the deepest answer you will get is in trying to find the right question to ask of it. How else may you progress if you do not know the real questions to ask? If you cannot conjure for yourself what problems may be, how they may be revealed to you, then how can you significantly alter the life's pattern other than to just merely watch it simply reciprocate itself, continually throwing up the same answer? If you are able to actually perceive of a new and different question, then that will be a groundbreaking experience, possibly for many beings on your side of life. That is how science progresses. Not answering the imponderables, but actually coming up with a significant idea of which has never been born. A new idea focuses not just intellect, it focuses the idea of pattern that had not previously existed within the aura of mind consciousness. Therefore, you are significantly moving the whole race of promise which is behind you forward. every new idea you have, which is not of anyone else's realm or anyone else's perception, you are creating a new reality for them to eventually find for themselves. I suppose it is part of the wondrous work of actually being able to ponder through different texts, different articles, different theses, and different ways of working that other people have, no matter what their language. Ideas of thought, of religious understanding, may actually be born in this way, and how to actually find a reason for its cause. There are many questions which still remain that have not yet been born to the eye of the mind or the window of the physical world.
You say that the process of learning is indeed far more engaging than so many things. For each posed question and each thoughtful and answer requires so many more questions and answers, and yet again more questions and answers.
Well, of course.
It's just never ending, isn't it?
Yes, I suppose so. But, of course, this has to have a point of view. It has to have a reason for being. And therefore, I feel that one must really try to evaluate how different answers have affected you as a being. How, for example, you have walked your life. How the research you have made has uncovered truths yet to be spoken in your life. And perhaps for some may never be spoken in their lifetime. Does that mean then that they have always to have lost them? Does it mean to say that all of those beings born yesterday and perhaps past yesterday, or all of those beings who were passed to our side of life just an hour ago, does it mean to say that they will never hear all of those new words which are to come, all of those new thoughts and aspirations, all of the ideals which humanity still strive and struggle to reach? Does it mean to say that they are still lost to civilization, lost in time, in the prism that is physical life in relation to physical death? If death does not exist, then you have an ongoing scenario of enveloping and opening windows of structure and possibility, which are there for all to behold in one way or another, be it that they behold them in the physical state, or, as I say, if they have passed just an hour ago. Does it mean to say that they will still never see these beautiful lights, still never see these wondrous questions answered finally? To be sure, for many of them, they will have them answered themselves when they go to our side of life, because they will see it for themselves. They will see it for themselves in the true light of honesty, not through someone else's mind, but will actually see it for what it is. Because in the ether world, there is nothing which bars your progress unless you bar yourself, unless you cease to progress yourself. Therefore, if you cannot accept a new answer for something you had held dear within your physical life, you simply will not progress from it, because you will have not accepted it. It is why so many people on our side of life are still locked within their religious understanding or their religious grief. It may be still why there are many beings who are against one another. And this is not just in the lower astral realms or planes, as some would have it, but it exists throughout the spirit world, that the connotation of thought, the prism that people are appearing to be locked in within their constraints of consciousness, that they have adopted whilst being physical and human, now once in the spirit world, they suddenly have the key to life. The key to their door is possible, and yet it is there at variance with their life. They cannot possibly open it because it will fundamentally alter their current belief system.
So, I mean, we limit our self-expression, don't we, by trying to conform to some idea and then miss a lot of things, whether it's religion or whatever.
Yes, of course.
The goal that you set yourself. And then, as you said in one of your books as well, that we seem to have to attain a position before others can regard us as an accomplished voice within a given area.
Yes, of course, because that is naturally all about judgment, how different people will judge the veracity of what you speak or of what you say, what you think and bring into your consciousness, how your illumination of imagination reacts within your world and how you dictate it to the rest of them.
Yes. But it's like we have to walk along a pathway lit by certain landmarks, though, to in a correct manner. This is what you said. In order to receive merit, in order to receive justification for our journey, we get a word or an emotion or an ideal in our head, and we feel that we have to do that. Whereas in if we just carried along, we might miss a lot of things.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely so. Yes.
If we took a different viewpoint, we would be able to discover much more.
Of course. If one was walking perhaps at a certain pace, does it mean to say that you will see everything? Does it mean to say that you will discover every blade of grass or every leaf on every tree? Of course not. You will take the scenario within the context of the reality in which you stand or sit. You will look upon it as a mass of vegetation. Perhaps some will significantly feel it is of lesser worth than others. Yet, if you take time and trouble at moments of peace, at islands of peace in your life, you will discover through that concentration of actually being able to dissect certain situations, certain things that you look at and see for yourself, you will actually begin to wonder at those things that you have missed. Because the shape and the form, the patterns that are brought to your eyes, the way in which they play with one another's light, the way their different colors blend and move, just with the light air, just with a significant whisper from some other form, will change the way they look and the way you observe them forever. Forever is a very long time. You can alter your attitude toward all forms of life merely by opening your eyes to the possibility of richness which awaits you. Not tomorrow, not yesterday, but now, in this moment.
Spiritual is a good word, I think. I think I'd like to talk about spiritual. I'd like you to talk about spiritual, because that word could mean so many different things to so many different people.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Of course.
Because people, I consider myself a spiritual person, and I know lots and lots of other people that do as well. but also people who are religious consider themselves as spiritual people. How can I say? I'm trying to marry us all together here.
Yes, and of course everyone is really married together because of their spiritual evolution. And yet, what tends to happen is that people try one another. They bring judgment upon one another's spirituality.
Hmm.
Perhaps it may be because they themselves have a gift, perhaps to see the auric field or something else significant in that way. They may be through this knowledge or through this gift are able to understand something else about their energy not obvious to others. So does that mean to say they are making an advanced judgment upon them or upon you? Does it mean to say then that this once again is to be at fault of the judgment area that human beings have about one another? Surely this is something to do with the animal instinct that human beings have. Because you are all judging yourselves and one another, your prowess. You are all looking at one another, perhaps to see if they are going to be threatening, or if you are going to be threatening to someone else. Perhaps it is to do with the way you interact with them physically or mentally. People are always looking for loopholes of fear to try to decide whether you are stronger or weaker, whether you are, whether you are parent or child, whether you are going to be overcome by the process of power. And the observers of theocracy over another encounter of natural development or natural spirituality that you would have just by keeping your eyes open and your mouth shut.
Yes, so different people's versions of spirituality will differ greatly, and it's just whether we can just allow that to happen. Really?
Yes, absolutely so. You see, the problem that we feel, which exists among many people, is to do with this isolation of how certain religious theocracies dictate as being the cause célèbre for their particular regime or their particular dominance within the group or upon the world. So you would have one idyllic of advantages from sharing the energy of love, that is, of the universe. And yet, through this upper house of spirituality of which you all crave, there seems to be this lacking, this simple fact of being able to link with one another, shake one another's hand, or hold one another, or hug them, because of the love that you may feel for them. Not because they are of a different gender or the same gender, not because you are attracted to them, but simply because they are a fellow human being in need of understanding, just like you are. That is the creation of your true spirituality, if you are able to perceive someone else's love and understand it, not through the eyes you force it through for your own discretion, for your own answer to what love is. But that through your spirituality, you are actually able to perceive something that is far-reaching, nay, beautiful, to behold in someone else's vibration. Is that truly, surely, surely to look into the eyes of God. No matter what you determine God to be, if you feel that God is some particular being, then that is a matter for you, of course. But you may see this undeniable love within all beings, within all things, in material life, in physical life. This is why you are here.
And God is such a personal thing, isn't it, to each person?
Of course.
An individual, personal feeling, emotion, whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
So, I'd just like to go off track slightly here. We're talking about the interpretation of at the moment, words and language. But what about in the spirit world? You don't have words and language. So you don't have a lot of the barriers that we have. I mean, you don't have the materialism either, do you?
That is very true. But I have to say, of course, we do still have words and language. There are still barriers because people take them with them.
Oh, right. Okay.
Unfortunately. So you would still have Mary and Joe who believe in Catholicism or whatever it was. You would still have other people who believe in whatever faith it was that they have. Perhaps they are Jewish. Perhaps they are some other significant faith. And their language and their reflections, their understanding of life would not alter one jot the moment they step into the spirit world, because it will be a gradual event which will come upon them, which will come upon each and every one. And whether they allow this change of events to actually change them significantly will depend upon the consciousness and the ability of each individual to understand the merit of where they are and of what their life has been. If they cannot, then they will not move forward. It is as simple as that. So they will continue with the language, with the obstructions of that language, or with the obstructions of their behavior, which they have already created in physical life. And no amount of enlightenment will change that, if they wish it not to. So it is about to do, yes, with spirituality, but also with the decisions that one person makes about how they wish to be now. Not yesterday, not in the life that they had, not in the physical life that was in the last previous minute, but the life which is unfolding in this minute now, and which will be unfolding in the next minute.
But you do use thought, though, don't you?
We do use thought.
So
how is thought not of language?
Mm.
Yes, I understand the dilemma. It is actually because of the fact that words cease to have significant meaning in the form and shape of what they were in physical life. Basically, what happens is that in the spirit world, words and language tend to take on a different meaning. And it is, in a sense, a shared meaning, because you do not have the structures of having to learn a particular language and its intricacies in how it would have affected you as a physical being, because you are now no longer physical, so therefore it will not affect you in the same way. You may have altered understanding from a particular word. Hate, for example, will perhaps begin to have a different meaning upon your life. The more you move along your journey, the further you reach within your journey, within your heart and mind, within your consciousness in the spirit world, will actually bring the valuation of what the word hate is in a different way. For you will truly see it from all sides, from all visions. You will understand it for what it is.
We have a caller.
Okay.
I'll put him on.
Hello, friend.
Hi, Gregory.
Hello, friend.
Glad to meet you. I'd like to know if in my dreams, I always have a lot of dreams, but they always give me the information like right before I wake up. So, for instance, I see a praying mantis. Now,
yes.
I don't have any orientation with what that actually means, so I have to look it up. And in doing so, how much does that actually define my interpretation of how I'm going to deal with this energy?
Yes, interesting point, my friend. And sometimes, of course, you will have significant poses, significant images presented to you. Not necessarily will it be that they are always for interpretation or for you to see some significance within the journey of why it was presented to you. It may be, of course, my dear friend, just because of the fact that it was presented to you and that you saw it. It may be that you needed merely to say, I can see that. I can see the praying mantis is green or has stripes upon its back. I can see that it has, it is posing in a certain way.
Okay. Because it appeared not like the size of a praying mantis, but this huge, huge creature far bigger than a human being.
Yes.
I
understand. This is actually a part of the latent fear that human beings have of creatures from perhaps other worlds. There are many people, of course, who have these feelings which are always tending to be depicted in a certain way. Perhaps, of course, it may be just significantly that it is presented to you because there are some inner fears for you. Not, of course, necessarily about a particular being, like in the guise of a praying mantis, but that is something significant to do with your actual home life or relationship situation which is around you. I'm not saying that this is typecast particularly for you at this time. Very many people tend to place connotations upon words or images or things they see as being particularly auspicious for a specific occasion.
I
kind of
got the impression that this energy was just around me because when I say just around me, I think it wanted to let me know of it, be aware of its presence because it was like a blue energy. It tastes like a blue energy. It was very strong and for some reason. That particular energy around me at that time was making me extremely calm. Extremely at peace with everything. I was just so cool about everything, particularly maybe people who are abusive or environments that were full of negative energy, like my job.
Yeah.
Just calm and just from waking up and just moving, almost so calm it was like I was sedated.
Yes, and of course, it may well be, you see, that it is necessary for you to have this feeling of inner calm, particularly, as you say, in a place of work or something like that, which can obviously have so many different restraints upon your own inner nature. It would be significant for you to actually present yourself within the day of not actually rising to the bait which you are given, perhaps on some occasions, or not actually succumb to the very difficult vibrations of disorganization between different beings.
Mm-hmm. And also, I noticed it showed me its eyes as well and made it prominent, the very, very big green eyes, like it does not miss anything. Its observation was just clarity, like it was not going to miss anything.
Yes, and of course, my friend, this was actually something which you would not have structurally thought possible within your mind, that you would not ordinarily have conjured it up as a mind thought process. You would not perhaps have even imagined of bringing such a vehicle of expression, a being as such as that, in order to determine a significant moment for your life. What I have to say, though, is that why it was so significant was because of the energy it produced, which was not the fear you would have expected.
Yes, it was, because praying mantises I've always been afraid of, because they're just ominous insects. They just look so awesome. They're so large, and this one was big as a house.
Yes.
And it moved with a strange kind of grace, a control. It really wanted to let me know that its energy was in me, through me, around me. It was here. And it was just a very secure feeling of, just a very calming, secure feeling, even though I initially was repulsed by it because I do not like creatures like that, you know?
I understand, but my dear friend, perhaps from now you would perhaps even look at such a creature in a different light.
Yes.
Because it is not there to harm you. It
right.
is there as a representation of God, after all.
Yes, I've seen some unusual creatures in my sleep. The awesome size of these creatures have been oftentimes...
Yes.
Very frightening. Some as big as a four-story building, but they always had some kind of message, and they seem to radiate an energy that says, I am not here to harm you at all.
Yes.
These
really, my dear friend, are a presence from the spirit world, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah. I know it is. It's just that I wondered how much that it would influence. I'm trying to wonder how much is me and how much is spiritual forces outside of myself. That's really, and how much they would have an influence on my own personal truth, which
yes.
is ever evolving.
Yes, and my dear friend, it is really to do with the evolutionary aspect of how spirit nature wishes to show you alignment. Really, alignment to your own wanderings of the inner workings of the mind. So, if they present to you some being which is unfathomable, which you really could not bring about yourself, or perhaps it may even be, as in this case, a disguise of a creature from your side of life, but which actually appears in some erroneous dimensional difference from your normal state of reality, it would appear that a praying mantis is only small, and yet from this state of reality, it is something quite excessive. Perhaps it is, of course, that you have been made smaller by its significance, because there is nothing else around you on the landscape. Your window of opportunity is only opening to that one specific energy. It is there, really, to show you of the significance of what your envelope in your travels, when you visit or when you are brought with the spirit team who work with you, to actually show you some event, that they can actually bring something of true value to your life. And really, my friend, you, so long as you keep your mind open to new possibilities and new realities, it will constantly be that these images will move and shift and change, they will become different. You will have new images of a newer reality, which do not necessarily have physical other species, even though they may be disproportionate to their actual size in your knowing.
Energy charges, before I go, because I know you're running low on time here, these energy charges that I get throughout my, particularly my feet and occasionally my hands, how might I interpret that, or other than I know the ones that I get in my right foot, and especially when they're particularly sharp, they're warnings to become more circumspect, more circumspect and careful.
Yes. Now, well, my friend, to do with your hands, it is actually that you have a certain power. I will not say that you have a certain power, but I would say that you have the possibility of being a conduit for a certain energy to be released upon others. So therefore, you are someone who can significantly spread well-being to others. This isn't something that you can use as a process of power over others. You understand?
Right, because, one, that's not my orientation.
No, I'm not saying that it is, but I'm saying that you must just be aware that this is a gift that you have toward other beings. And in that way, you can, if you allow yourself to open, particularly in meditation or something like that, that you can allow these energies to flow through you. Sometimes you will receive pains in one foot or another because you are not completely grounded in your life experience.
Right. That's my big problem in this life, the grounding and lack of confidence.
Yes, I do understand this, friend, but what I'm saying is that the energy in your hands is significant. And this is something that you can give toward other beings.
In a way of healing?
Yes, quite so.
Right. Well,
so
you're very perceptive.
You can actually spread well-being to others.
You're very perceptive. That's what my spiritual group had mentioned to me. But at least I know what it is now. And now that, well, you know, I have some idea of what that was. I just thought that it was, I really didn't know what it was, these electrical charges. I just thought it was messages from the guides around me or energies around me.
Well, my dear friend, what actually tends to happen is that people build up a set of electrical pulses within them, particularly if they need to use the energy which they have been a conduit for. Now, you at this time are not, and that is something that you need to do. You are finding that through these experiences, you are actually bringing yourself to a different emotional level and a different spiritual level. You are calmer when these events occur. Now, what I'm saying, my friend, is that what you need to do is to take whatever opportunity is presented to you. If you are asked to help someone, then just do it without question.
Okay.
And the situation will evolve and will become more clear over a very short space of time.
Okay. Well, you've given great advice here. And you pretty much... Yeah, I think you're pretty accurate in your understanding.
Oh, thank you very much, my friend. I'm so pleased.
No, but you really are, you know, because you're saying a lot of things that other spiritual people who are in flesh, who are open with communication, they spoke about the grace of healing and compassion.
My friend, you need to do it.
Yeah.
And do not be afraid.
And you know,
do not be afraid of thinking, I don't know what to do. You understand, friend?
Mm-hmm.
All you need to do is, I'm not asking you to have faith or whatever, but please just to trust and know that those who wish to work with you will, and they will guide you. And that is all you need to do.
Hey.
Wow, that's great.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
Thanks very much for your call.
And thank you, dear, for accepting my call.
You're welcome.
And have a great evening, and you've been extremely helpful.
Thank you, so. God bless. Man.
God bless.
Okay, well, I don't think we've got a lot longer, actually, Gregory. I'm just trying to think what we were talking about before now, if we could just finish that briefly.
Yes, you see, people have a significance in what they wish to bring about in their lives. They may find that one thing will display a certain pattern in their life. You see, you would have an experience perhaps of an image like that gentleman just had and was relaying. And one particular image you would feel would have certain connotations, as it will, to begin with, because of your association with your natural world. And so a being like a praying mantis or something like that is something which actually can conjure up a great deal of fear or apprehension. And yet, within that situation, the circle was completed by the overwhelming sense of well-being brought to it.
Well, and it caught his attention.
And that is the point.
He would remember.
It was so significant because it was so out of proportion to normal day life.
Absolutely.
Which is exactly what and how spirit will bring images and reasoning to the conscious mind, which will actually in some way seem so significant or out of step ordinarily with ordinary life. It will be, of course, well, how can it be significant that a giant doll is presented to me that is 40 feet high or something like that? How can that be significant? Well, just because it is so large and you didn't expect it.
And you remembered.
Remembered it. Exactly.
And the spirit.
You remembered it, so it worked.
Absolutely. It worked, yes. They were able to bring it to you.
Yes.
And you were able to say, I saw that.
Cause celeb. Mm. It has come full circle.
Yes.
You see, the message has been got across. Has been brought.
So basically, a lot of the time, the significance in these images that they bring isn't the message.
This is the problem with interpretation.
Yes.
People interpretate what they see literally on the first hand and then try to struggle with that image and how can it be that this is this when I feel this about, yes, when I feel a certain emotion toward that image.
Mm.
As in this case, a praying mantis, you would automatically think for some people would make someone feel sick or because of its sheer menace or the actual connotations of emotion that it brings about.
Yes, but it was what it was brought with it that mattered.
And that was what was significant.
And it could be a calling card.
Yes. After all, he could have been presented with a double-decker bus. He could have been presented with an earth-moving equipment or with a fish or a whale or something else.
So it could be a calling card as in that the specific guide that maybe brought that wanted to work with him would let himself be known. He would maybe clairvoyantly or sense a prayer mantis or whatever.
Yes.
And then he would know that this guide was with him.
Yes. You see, on the other hand, you may think of the interpretation as being that within these words and structures of reality of how you would normally think, place one word in front of the other and make a sentence, you would see a praying mantis is green or varying shades of green. This is surely to do with Mother Earth.
Mm-hmm.
This is surely to do with Earth energies linked with spiritual energies because it has been brought through the spirit form in the state of dream.
Mm-hmm.
And do not ever forget, my dear friends, that dreams are reality. They are just in a different form. They are pictures and windows upon your world so that you may move through to a different dimensional state of being and understanding that you may gain about your life. They are not necessarily significant in the way they are presented at first hand, at first thought. You may feel that they are this because you are used to thinking that way. When dealing with the spirit world or some form of communication, it will be significant that it is probably not in the way that you first realize it to be.
Okay. Well, that's been fascinating, Gregory. Absolutely wonderful, as usual.
We thank your loving heart and your depth of feeling, my dear friend, little bird. And we thank you all for taking the time and trouble to listen to these words from the spirit world. We thank you from the bottom of our innermost being, all the many hundreds and thousands of individuals now present. We thank you so for this time we share, and with love and light we lead you at this time. God bless.
And we hope you've enjoyed the show. I'd just like to mention our website again. It's www.spirit-teaching.com. And you can find out more information about us and our work, and as well as Spirit's work on BBS Radio on Mondays and Thursdays. We also have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching, on artistverse.com every Tuesday at 8 p.m. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.